Hello, hello, and welcome to Arthouse Garage, the snob-free film podcast where we make arthouse, indie, classic, and foreign cinema accessible to the masses. I'm your host, Andrew Swetman, and today on the show, we're talking to an Arkansas filmmaker and highlighting an upcoming film screening that's happening in Little Rock. The film is called You Have No Idea, and it's playing at the Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts Friday, March 29th at 6:30 p.m. Details are at ArkansasCinemaSociety.org, and you can find a link to that in the show notes of this episode as well. The screening will also be followed by a Q&A with some of the filmmakers and subjects of the film. The film is a documentary following the life of Evan James, an adult living with autism, and his mother, Beth, who has been his fiercest advocate over the years. Evan and Beth live in El Dorado, Arkansas. I found the film to be incredibly moving and well put together, and I encourage anyone listening to come out to the screening next week and see it, or seek it out online in the coming weeks as it becomes available on demand. Joining me on the podcast today is the film's director, Alexander Jeffrey, an Arkansan currently living in Louisiana. I was so glad to get the chance to talk with him recently, to learn about him as a filmmaker, and to dig just a little bit into the process of putting this film together. Here is our conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Alexander Jeffrey, director of the new film, You Have No Idea, which is screening Friday, March 29th at the Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts. Alexander, welcome to the podcast, and how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking, and really excited that this film is showing and excited to learn a little bit more about it and about you. So first of all, tell us about yourself as a filmmaker, your production company, and what's your connection with El Dorado, Arkansas?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in El Dorado, Arkansas. I'm from Canada originally. And when I was about 10, we moved to South Arkansas for my dad's job. And I was a hockey player, realized pretty quickly that you can't play hockey in South Arkansas. Yeah. So I needed a new thing. I needed a new, you know, and film had always been a part of my life. My godbrother took me to see Star Wars when it was re-released, the special editions. And so that was the first live action movie that I ever saw in cinemas, still living in Canada. And I remember right after that, I got my parents' little home video camera and my action figures. And I was like, I want to figure this out. This is cool. So when I moved to Arkansas and got involved in, the high school drama class, fell in love with storytelling, with plays, with being in front of an audience and getting their feedback and all that kind of stuff. So that really naturally sort of rolled into going to film school and going to study theater performance at the University of Nebraska. And after that, moving to LA and, trying that out and then coming back to the South and moving to Shreveport to, make movies with my friends.
Nice. Very cool. And there's a lot of El Dorado in this film, which is where the subject Evan James is from. So the film tells the story of Evan, who is an adult who has autism, and his mother, Beth, and kind of tells their story and their challenges over the years. I was curious when you first met Evan, at what point, because, watching the film, you kind of see from birth to present and kind of what he's been through. At what point did you meet him, and what made you decide that this should be a film?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would have met Evan when I was in high school. His mother, Beth, was the executive director at the Art Center, where I grew up doing musicals and plays in the summers. And so Evan would have been around the Art Center a lot and, watching Disney movies. They had this rolly cart with a TV on it. And I remember him watching Disney movies on repeat. And I didn't really know what autism was, I don't think, at the time. And I didn't really know a lot about him or his journey or his family. I just knew Beth and Evan's father, Dennis, I had seen on stage at the Art Center many times and was a huge inspiration in my life. I actually wrote my essay to get into college about Dennis and how his impact on me as a performer. Sadly, Dennis left us in 2006, which we cover in the film. But, even though I knew Beth and Evan and Dennis and actually went to Beth and Paul's wedding when I was, in college, I did not know, the whole you have no idea. I had no clue the extent of this story. And it wasn't until 2020 when Paul Burns, Evan's stepfather, approached us about, let's make this birthday video for Beth as a tribute to her and as a thank you to her. And we interviewed all of the friends and family and kind of told the story through their lens. And in the making of that birthday video, I think myself and Paul Burns and Paul Peterson, who's my film production partner, we all three were just like, God, this there's so much more to this, and we have to do this story justice. And if Beth's into it and if she's willing, because it's a lot to, I mean, it's very vulnerable. It's a lot to put your life out there for everybody to see. But if she's willing to do it, we have to. I feel like it's just such a important story to tell. And she was willing, and we got started.
That's great. That was kind of going to be my next question. But first, I love the title, which I won't, there's a moment in the film that kind of explains the title, which I'll leave as a surprise
for anyone who's,
but I think it also resonates just in, like, you have no idea of, like, what people have gone through. Like, just you meet someone at the store and you have no idea what their struggle. And so, like, this film gives us an insight into someone's life, and it's such an incredibly personal film. I actually found a lot to relate to. I have two kids, neither of them have autism, but they both have Down syndrome. And one of them, my daughter Rosie, has a lot of other developmental complications. She's a wheelchair user and nonverbal and a variety of things. So I definitely, watching this film, identify with a lot of Beth's struggles. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't maybe be comfortable talking about all that on camera. So I was wondering if you ever had trouble, you know, as a filmmaker, asking people to be vulnerable in that way, especially Beth, but anyone else too.
It's such a good question. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about Beth is that once she committed to it, once she thought, she really thought about it, it wasn't like a yes, an immediate yes to making the film. But once she committed to it and she sat down in that interview chair across from me, it was a full level of trust between the two of us. And I think part of that is just our history and knowing each other for as long as we have. El Dorado is such a small community. She knows my parents and my family really well. And there's, I think, a level of trust too within the theater community, especially the Art Center. You know, we kind of shared that and that history. So once we sat down in that interview chair, across from each other, she was willing to bare her soul. I didn't have to do anything. I basically got out of the way. I just let her tell the story. And she was so open to doing it once she agreed to do it. And once she committed, she was 150% in.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, her storytelling is kind of the heart of the film. Obviously there's so much other stuff to it that really enriches it all. But yeah, I think having her was so key clearly to making it. I was curious about Evan's feeling about, you know, being on camera. First of all, I think my favorite sequence in the film, which I also won't go into too much detail, I'll let people watch it, but is when we see his creativity and he loves Disney movies, as you mentioned already.
Yeah.
And when we see him, you know, his photo, he takes photos of the screen and kind of puts them together. And that I found that sequence to be so moving and so incredible. So anyone who hasn't seen it yet, go see it and watch for that. But just his, I was wondering how he felt about being on camera, because for the most part in the film, he doesn't, you know, look at the camera and like, oh, they're following me again or whatever. But there's a one moment where I think he calls himself a movie star or something like that. So I was curious, like, how did he feel about it? What was your impression of his, like, understanding of it all?
Yeah, I mean, what was kind of surprising to me is, you know, early on we did a test before Beth committed 100% to making the documentary. We did a little test, which was the sequence where she's, you know, telling a story to tell him that he's going back to his group home, and, you know, that he'd been staying with mom and Paul for a long time, and he's going back to the home. And what was so shocking to me is that he was so able to be himself in front of the camera. And that's very difficult for a lot of people, even the best of actors, to just forget that the camera's there and just be yourself. And so the reason that he started kind of referring to himself as movie star is, we, you know, Paul and I would kind of say to him when we were shooting, it was like, you know, you're a movie star. And so then he started using the phrase movie star to communicate to his mom that he was wondering where we were, why we weren't there that day filming. And so it became very natural to him that the cameras were there, and like his dad, he's a performer, like he loves the spotlight. And so it was actually super natural. And again, like, for whatever reason, I feel so lucky that he has a trust with me and we kind of share a love and a bond. So I think very early on, it was kind of established that this is going to work. Like, he's very comfortable with us around, and it doesn't put him in a, you know, uncomfortable situation, which would have probably changed the whole process and may have, there may not have been a movie if that was the case.
Yeah. Another question I kind of just thought of is just in the film, there's kind of, there's natural segments and you have these great segues with the, all the tapes and everything, which also ties in thematically. So that was a nice touch. But then, you know, how much did you have trouble knowing, you know, how much should we focus on this part of the story? How much should we focus on, you know, the struggle of getting into a regular classroom versus, you know, going to a special ed classroom and, those different aspects. Cause actually that's one thing you focused on quite a bit. And I was kind of surprised by it, but I thought it was so interesting. And maybe just as a special needs parent, I was, you know, kind of, keying in on that, but was it difficult to know, like, oh, there's this whole section we should probably remove or that, those kind of things, I guess that's in the editing room. But
it was honestly, I mean, I come from a narrative filmmaking background. This is my first, you know, feature length documentary, and my God, the editing process is brutal. It's so hard. And I mean, but it was such a, you know, I poured my heart into it because I just love this family and this story. But yeah, figuring out this, the, how to keep it interesting for, you know, 85 minutes and also like how to tell the story in a non-linear fashion. Cause it's like, we have sort of these two threads. One is, you know, starting from the beginning and taking us through Evan's diagnosis and the whole, you know, journey. And then we have this COVID element of, hey, he's got to get acclimated back into his normal, you know, quote unquote routine, of, you know, going, you know, being back in the group home and coming back to be with, Beth and Paul on the weekends and that kind of thing. So I think it was challenging to balance those two things. And it's, you know, it was very late in the game that we kind of came up with the VHS, transitions and through line, which seems, I feel stupid now, you know, cause it's so obvious, but it's one of those things that it didn't feel obvious at the time. And now it's like slaps you in the face. Like, yeah, of course you have to tell the story this way. Cause this is Evan's, this is how he sees the world. It's through VHS tapes. So, but no, it was very challenging. And, you know, I'm not going to say that we made a perfect movie or struck the absolute perfect balance, but I think we certainly found a rhythm to it, that wasn't obvious to us at the beginning that I feel like is, it was a better method of telling the story.
Yeah. Imagine just having all this footage and finding the narrative, you know, which I guess is the struggle of every documentary filmmaker, but
totally
sounds really hard. Well, I believe this film has screened a few times already at some festivals. I was curious what the response was like so far.
Yeah, it's been a really awesome response. So we premiered at the Hot Springs Documentary Fest, which was kind of our goal going into this. Like, you know, this is a very Arkansas film. We want to premiere at the, you know, we have this amazing Academy qualifying documentary festival in the state. Let's aim to premiere there. And we were lucky enough that they selected the film to screen. But throughout the festival process, we've also done sort of tangential screenings with, you know, different autism organizations, like, for instance, the Temple Grandin School in Colorado. And those screenings have been almost more impactful than the festival screenings. The festival screenings have been great, and everybody's been, you know, so loving. And the people coming up to us after the film and being like, you know, we need the whole world to see this film. And I know they're, you know, they're being nice and they're, you know, they're there in the moment and feeling the feelings, but you know, it's been cool that people have seen themselves in the story in some capacity. Like, and we knew going in, like, Evan's story is Evan's story, and you know, no two people with autism have the same journey or the same experience. And this isn't going to touch, this isn't a movie about what is autism, because you can't tell that through one person's lens. But if it's been really awesome to see the people that have taken away something for themselves from from watching the movie. But the screenings with the autism organizations have been really cool, because you've had people in the audience with varying, you know, varying degrees of the spectrum, like being on the spectrum in different ways, whether it's, you know, high functioning, or I'm not 100% sure what the terminology is right now, but, you know, people with autism reacting to the movie and telling us that they really love that we portrayed it with joy and with happiness and with optimism, because oftentimes in film it's not. And so that's been really cool to get the feedback directly from the communities that are seeing the movie. And that's been the most meaningful thing to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like, I mean, you hear about any minority group, like, oh, we have these
all these films about, you know, the challenges, but we also want to see the joy. And I think this film does that too. Yeah. That was my experience anyway. And I'm curious, you know, I guess that's my, what I would say to anyone listening is, I had one experience of it as a special needs parent, but I think anyone will take a lot from this film and would enjoy it. So I hope that people will come out and see it.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do recommend it to anyone. The film is screening very soon here in Arkansas. Tell us about that screening and then the release of the film as well.
Yeah. So we have a screening coming up with the Arkansas Cinema Society. I'm such a fan of that organization and everything that they're doing in the state. I mean, there's tons of film in the state, as you know, which is the coolest thing. I love the different festivals throughout the state that are doing amazing things with programming. And, you know, ACS has been so supportive of the film. And this is actually our second screening with ACS, but our first screening in Little Rock at this new venue, which I've never been to, the Museum of Fine Arts. Well, yeah. I'm so excited to see it. I've heard nothing but awesome things. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that because, you know, as much as this film is about autism and a mother and son's journey together, this is, I think, a great portrayal of the state the community in El Dorado and, you know, how kind of love and friendship can be found in the most unlikely places. And I think that, you know, this is a film that I think Arkansas can and should be proud of. And so I really hope people show up for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I will be linking to the ArkansasCinemaSociety.org website, the link where you can go buy tickets. And I hope anyone and everyone will get out and check this out. And there's going to be a Q&A as well, I believe, after the screening. Is that right?
Yeah. So myself and Paul Peterson, who are the filmmakers, and then Beth and Paul Burns will be there all to do a Q&A afterwards. And I forgot to answer your question about the release.
Oh, right.
So the movie is actually coming out on World Autism Awareness Day, which is April 2nd. Oh, great. And will be available on iTunes and Amazon. And we're really pushing people towards Amazon because, as I just found out from the distributor, Amazon is a algorithm curated platform and Apple is a human curated platform. So Apple is going to be pushing the films that have all the big money and the big stars and the big talent in them. Whereas Amazon, like, these films can actually get in front of a larger audience if people go and watch it and rate it and, you know, uptick it in the algorithm. So,
So go rent it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'll link to all those things. And as you know, when it drops on Amazon, I'll make sure to share that out on socials as well. So you can watch Arthouse Garage's socials and I'll link to everything I can for you guys as well. But thank you so much for your time and thank you for this film. And I can't wait to see it on the big screen in a few weeks here. Well,
yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for doing this awesome podcast and promoting film in Arkansas. It's really cool. Oh,
thanks. Yeah, my pleasure. Truly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.